All right, if you still have your Bibles open to Luke chapter 7, I want to pick up reading in verse 40 and read down through verse 47. This is a parable that Jesus told to this Pharisee named Simon. See, Jesus knew what Simon was thinking when he thought this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touched him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint. But this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Tonight, I want to look at this event in the life of Jesus and the parable that he told within this event, because I think it gives us a good picture of Thanksgiving, how different people approach it. And in this story, there are two different groups of people that are represented. There's the ungrateful, represented by Simon the Pharisee, and then there is the grateful, represented by this woman, who the Bible says was a sinner. And tonight, as I had in the bulletin, I'm going to preach a message entitled, A Pattern for Great Thanks. And we're going to look at the woman in just a minute, and we're going to see what led her to be so grateful to Jesus. Now, start out, we're going to look at Simon for a little bit, because I want to hold this lady in contrast to Simon. Because, you see, one of the ugliest things in the world is ingratitude. I mean, it's just, it's just ugly. When God does something for us and blesses us, to not be grateful and to be thankful unto Him is just wrong. It's a sin, and so I want to look at Simon just for a few minutes and just show you what kind of person that he was and how his ingratitude colored him with a color that I don't think any of us want to be colored with. And again, I would ask you to think about it in the context of Thanksgiving this week and how grateful we're going to be and how we're going to use the day of Thanksgiving. Of course, it will be a day where many of us will get together with family and we'll eat probably more than we should. There'll be football games on. There'll be games played. I was telling Kathy this morning after the service about I was looking forward to Thursday because when I retired, my brother gave me two very sizable crossword puzzle books, and he said, if you practice, maybe you can beat me at Scrabble. I'm always playing my brother in Scrabble, and I always lose. And so I've been working a crossword puzzle or two a day since the 1st of October, and I am primed. Now, if I come back next Sunday and tell you, oh, he beat me again, and he got me the easy ones, I know, because I'm able to work them all without looking in the answers. But if I come back Sunday and I lost again, you'll have to encourage me because I'll really be discouraged. But I want you to think and answer the question, really, tonight. Are you going to invite Jesus to be a part of your Thanksgiving? And again, I don't want you to answer me out loud, but I want you to think about it. As we get together with family, as we feast, as we play games, and as we have a good time, is Jesus going to be part of our Thanksgiving? Are you going to invite him? And why are you going to invite him? And I would ask you to just think with me, why did Simon invite Jesus to his house? I mean, I don't think it was like Matthew. You know, Matthew was a tax collector, one of Jesus' disciples, and he invited all his friends to his house and then invited Jesus to come as well because he wanted all his friends to meet Jesus. He wanted them to hear the story of salvation that Jesus was going to work on the cross. And so Matthew had good motives. He was going to introduce Christ to all his buddy tax collectors. And then there was Zacchaeus. Jesus sort of invited himself to Zacchaeus' house. You remember he was that little short guy that climbed the tree because he wanted to see Jesus. And Jesus came to the base of that sycamore tree and said, "Hey, Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm going home with you for dinner today." And of course, Zacchaeus welcomed him into his home. And as you go back and read that story about Zacchaeus, you find that salvation came into Zacchaeus' home that day. Zacchaeus was saved. But why did Simon invite him? Was it just curiosity? I mean, he'd heard about Jesus. He'd heard about some of the things that Jesus did. Did he just want to get a closer look? Did he just want to hear what Jesus would say in a private setting? Was it like other Pharisees? Other Pharisees got around Jesus because they wanted to catch him in his words. They wanted to entrap him and catch him in something that he said that could be used against him. And I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us the reason why, but I know that Simon wasted a great opportunity. He was in the presence of the Son of God. He was in the presence of the one that was going to go to the cross and die for Simon's sins. And as we've read and as I'll talk about in just a moment, Simon missed a great opportunity because even though Simon invited him, he did not extend to Jesus the common courtesies of the day. I mean, a common courtesy back in those days when you invited somebody to your house is that you had a basin of water that they could wash their feet in when they came in from the dusty roads. And that basin of water was accompanied by a towel so that they could rinse off their feet and dry off their feet before they came into the house. It was a custom back in those days that you gave your guest a kiss to welcome them into your house. It was a custom back in those days that you had a little oil that you anointed their head with just to make them feel welcome and to tell them how glad you were that they came into your home. Simon offered none of these common courtesies to Jesus. He had no water for him to wash his feet. He gave him no kiss. He had no oil to anoint his head. And so Simon treated him more like an uninvited guest than he did an invited guest, even though the Bible says, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. In other words, Simon invited him to his home, and yet when Jesus got there, he was treated as an uninvited guest. And then, not only that, but I want you to look at the attitude that Simon had toward Christ. In verse 39, "Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, 'This man, if he were a prophet.'" If he were a prophet. You see, Simon had not made up his mind about Christ. I mean, he'd heard what people had said, that this was the Messiah. He'd seen some of the things that Jesus had done, the miracles that he'd worked, the feeding of the multitudes, the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear. But what Simon was saying with this statement, "If he were a prophet," is, "I don't believe he is a prophet. I don't believe that he is the Messiah, because this is a woman that's a sinner." The Bible doesn't mention what her sin is, just said that she was a sinner and a well-known sinner, because apparently everybody in the city knew that she was a sinner. And Simon said, if Jesus were really a prophet, if he really were who he claims to be, if he really were who people say that he is, he would not have let this woman touch him because everybody knows that she's a sinner. And so Simon didn't really believe who Christ was. And he had a wonderful, great privilege that many of us wish we could have. I mean, wouldn't it be great if we could invite Jesus and he would come in a bodily form and be part of our Thanksgiving this year? I mean, if we could welcome him into our homes. Now, we wouldn't be like Simon. We would treat him as an invited guest. I mean, we don't provide water because, you know, we don't walk on dusty roads, but we would welcome him with a hug and a kiss. We would give him a place of honor. We would try to make him as comfortable as we could, and we would go out of our way. I know every single person in the auditorium tonight would go out of their way to make Jesus feel very, very, very welcome. Because we know who he is. We know that he's the Son of God. And Simon wasted a great opportunity when he had Jesus in his home and didn't extend to him the common courtesies, didn't know that he was the Messiah, didn't know that he was a prophet. And I want, and again, I'll just mention to you and ask you, is Jesus going to be a part of your Thanksgiving? Are you going to invite him to be there with you? Say, preacher, how can you do that? You can't do it in bodily form, but he can be part of your Thanksgiving as you remember what Thanksgiving is all about, and you remember the thanks that we owe our Savior, Jesus Christ. I mean, you ought to take some time on Thursday as you sit down with your family, and you ought to talk about Jesus. You ought to talk about the good things that he's done. You say, preacher, I don't have many good things going on in my life right now, and I'll just go back to this morning's message. If you're saved on your way to heaven, it doesn't matter the circumstances in your life. You have a whole bucket full of things to be grateful for. You were a sinner headed toward hell, and God loved you enough to send Jesus to die in your place. And you could spend hours and hours and hours and hours just talking about that and still not exhaust the subject. We need to invite him, and we need to know who he is, and we need to talk about him on Thursday. How can you talk about Thanksgiving and not talk about Jesus? How can you talk about Thanksgiving and not talk about the good and perfect gifts he's given us all? And so, don't be like a Simon. Don't waste the opportunity of the holiday and treat Jesus like an uninvited guest. Don't doubt who he is. Know who he is. And as you invite him and include him in your Thanksgiving, do it in that spirit. Now, I want to mention five things about this lady tonight that I think form a wonderful pattern of Thanksgiving. The things that we need to remember and keep in our hearts and in our minds as we approach this day of thanks. Number one, great thanks comes from great forgiveness. The more that you realize how great God's forgiveness was toward you, and the more I realize how great God's forgiveness was toward me, the more grateful we're going to be. Jesus said, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. He says, there was a creditor. He had two debtors. One owed 50 pence and the other owed 50, and they both had nothing to pay. And this creditor just forgave them both. The one that owed him 500 pence, he says, your debt is clear. And the one that owed 50 pence, he said the same thing, your debt is clear. And so Jesus was telling the story, something that Simon could understand. He said, Simon, tell me, which of those two debtors do you think will love Jesus the most? Which will be the most grateful? Which will express the greater thanks? Who will love this creditor more? And Simon answered, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. And Jesus said, Simon, right on. You got it. The one who Jesus or the creditor forgave the most will be the one that is most thankful, the one that will give the greatest thanks, the one that will love him the most. And here's what Jesus was saying between the lines. Simon, you're a Pharisee. You are the kind of guy that goes to the temple and you pray, I'm glad I'm not like other people. I'm glad I keep the law. I'm glad I tithe. I'm glad I stay clean. I'm glad I don't recognize sin in my life. Simon, you're that kind of guy. And as a result, because you don't think you need much forgiveness, you won't see much forgiveness, and therefore you won't be very grateful. This woman is a sinner. She doesn't keep the law. She doesn't tithe. She doesn't stay clean. She realizes that she is a sinner. And as a result, she realizes how great the forgiveness is that was extended to her. And what Jesus was saying to Simon is the same thing he says to us. The more we realize how great a sinner we are, the greater will be our thanks. I know there's maybe some people that are here tonight and say, well, preacher, you know, I'm not such a bad sinner. I mean, I know I have the wrong attitude now and then, and maybe there's times I don't treat people with the right amount of kindness, and maybe there's some times that I say things I shouldn't say. But if I look at my life, I got to say, I don't think I'm so bad. Now, if you're saying that tonight, I'll just say to you, you're going to be sort of like Simon. Because until we realize what and understand what great sinners we are, we won't give much thanks. We need, who will give great thanks? The one that remembers a verse like James 2:10 that says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. The one that remembers that the Bible says, if I keep every single one of the commandments of God and yet break just one of them, offend the law in one point, I am guilty of all of them. And so I might say tonight, well, I'm not so bad. I mean, yeah, maybe I've offended somebody or maybe I've said something that I shouldn't have said, but I need to realize that in God's sight, I am just as guilty as the murderer and as the thief and as the adulterer. And when God looks at me, he sees all those sins. And the one that will give great thanks is the one that realizes as we stand before God, we'll remember that verse in Isaiah that says, all of our righteousnesses in God's sight are as filthy rags. Yeah, we may hold out our chest and we may say, well, I'm not so bad. I do good things and I treat people right and I try to live my life in a way that's pleasing to God. But I want to remind you tonight, in God's sight, every good thing and every bit of our righteousnesses, all of them plural, in God's sight, are like a filthy rag that a leper has taken off his open sore that's full of blood and pus, cast it to the ground, and that liquid gathers up to dust. And you see that rat, it's putrid in our sight. We wouldn't want anything to do with it. I mean, if we were going to pick it up, we'd get a couple sticks and put it in the garbage can. We would not want to touch it. And I want to remind you tonight, when God looks at us in our sin, that's what he sees. Unrighteous. As filthy rags. The person who's going to give great thanks is the one that remembers the verses from Romans chapter 3 that says, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Who will give the greatest thanks? The one who says like Paul did in 1 Timothy, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners of whom I am chief. Who's the one that will give great thanks? The one that recognizes that in God's sight, we are vile, wicked sinners, filthy in the eyes of God, no redeeming qualities, and yet he loved us. He loved us. And while we were despicable in our sin, he gave his only begotten Son to die in our place. That great forgiveness was sent to rescue a sinner like me and to rescue a sinner like you. That's what leads to great thanks, when we realize what a great sinner we are and we recognize the forgiveness that God gives to us. So, great thanks comes when we realize great forgiveness. Number two, great thanks expresses itself spontaneously. This lady heard that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house. She came in to give him thanks. The custom of the day allowed her to do that. She didn't have to be pushed. She didn't have to work up her gratitude. When she knew that Jesus was close, she wanted to thank him. So she made her way into her house, into Simon's house, so that she could offer him thanks. You know, thanking God is something that we ought not just to do on a Sunday. Thanking God is something we ought not to do just on Thanksgiving. Thanking God is something that we ought not to have to work up. Thanking God is something that we ought not to have to be pushed into, or it ought not to have to be promoted in our lives. We ought to look at the simple, everyday kind of things and thank God for them. Thank God for them. I mean, when you get up tomorrow, and I think the day's supposed to start off pretty, and then get worse as it goes on. But when you get up tomorrow and you see the sun shining, it's going to be cold. But when you get up tomorrow and you see the sun shining and you see the blue sky like it was, I think, this morning, you got to just say, boy, God, you sure are good to me. Thank you for the day. When you look into the eyes of a little baby, and I'm doing this more and more now as I see my little grandson, I'm saying, thank you, God. You sure are a good God. When I think about friends, and I have many friends in this room tonight, and I think about the friends that God has put in my life and what they mean to me, I say, thank you, God. I'll be with my mom and dad on Thursday, and they're up in years, and I know how lucky I am to still have them both. And when I think about that I still have both my parents, I say, thank you, God. You're such a good God. I think about the children that God has given me, and I say, oh boy, I don't know if I can thank you for that or not. But I thank God for them. I thank God for my wife. I thank God. I mean, you can make your own list, and you can just go down the list. And thanking God ought not to be something that we wait for a special occasion on. There are things that we need to thank God for every single day. Every single day. Don't miss them. And don't miss the opportunity to thank God for each one of them. So, thanking God and great thanks expresses itself spontaneously. Number three, great thanks expresses itself outwardly. She came to Jesus' feet. She was reminded of what a great sinner she was. She was reminded of what a great love the Savior had toward her. She was reminded of the great forgiveness that Jesus gave to her. And her thanks took the form of tears, not just a few. She cried enough to wash Jesus' feet. As I mentioned this morning, sometimes we are way too reserved and too quiet in expressing our thanks to God. You know, we yell and scream and get excited about things that a year from now or 2 years from now won't amount to a hill of beans. I mean, they won't. Who won the football game? Who won the hockey game? It won't mean anything a year from now. And yet, somebody that gets saved, like Kelly did on Wednesday night, and somebody that follows the Lord in baptism, a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 100 years from now, for all eternity, that'll mean something. That'll mean something. The 29 people that we've seen saved over the last couple of weeks, a year from now, 5 years from now, 100 years from now, for all eternity, that'll mean something. That's what we ought to get excited about. That's what we ought to, in a loud voice, with tears and shouts of joy, that's what we ought to express our thanks about outwardly. You know, the Bible says there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. And I told Linda the other day, I know Brother Mark, when he was watching what we did at his funeral service, was just, when he saw those hands start to go up, you talk about one guy that was rejoicing, it was him. It was him. That's what we ought to get excited about. I mean, you know, the things of this world, I'm glad God blesses us, and I'm glad he lets us live in a nation where we can enjoy his blessings. But a year from now, 5 years from now, 100 years from now, the house that we live in, the car that we drive, the money that we have in the bank, it ain't going to make any difference. It's not. It's not going to make one bit of difference. But what's going to make a difference is when you get to heaven, like Angie sang tonight, and somebody comes up and they say, thank you, because of that thing that you did, because you taught my Sunday school class, or you preached to me in junior church, or you were kind to me, I'm here. I asked Jesus to be my Savior because of something you did. That's going to last forever and ever and ever and ever. And that's why the Bible says, don't store up your treasures down here, because they'll rust and they'll rot and people break in to steal them. Store your treasures up in heaven, because they're the ones that's going to last forever. Got to hurry. Number four, great thanks expresses itself humbly. You can sense the lowliness that this lady approached Jesus with. I mean, for a woman to untie her hair in public indicated a deep sense of humiliation. And to use it to dry off somebody's feet indicated how much of a servant she was. And I wonder how often our pride keeps us from offering great thanks. Because you see, if we're proud, we take credit for what God does. And as a result, we don't give him great thanks. And then, number five, great thanks expresses itself sacrificially. She bought this alabaster box of ointment. Probably represented her whole life savings. Probably represented all her living. And she poured it on Jesus' feet, expressing her gratitude by giving him the very best that she had. You know, I read again this week the story of Abraham and Isaac, when Abraham took him to the mountain to offer him as a sacrifice. And I asked myself the question, as I ask you tonight, if God came to me and said, hey, Daryl, I want you to take this thing that you have, and I want you to just give it away. Just give it away. Something valuable. Just give it away. I asked myself, would I be willing to do that? If I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was coming to me and said, hey, got this thing in your life, I know it's important to you, I just want you to give it away. And then I asked myself later on this week, if I had the chance to thank Jesus by taking the dearest thing that I had in my life and giving it to him, would I? Would I? This lady did. She took all her living, her life savings, everything she had, and she poured it on Jesus' feet, saying, thank you, thank you. You see, great thanks holds nothing back. It gives all. It gives sacrificially. And so I close with this question. This Thanksgiving, will you give great thanks? We will if we realize and understand what God has done for us. And to understand that, first thing you got to do is to admit what a sinner we are. Got to get through your pride, get through what you think of yourself, and see, we need to see ourselves as God sees us. And then we need to realize the great forgiveness that he gave us when he sent Jesus to die for us. If you're here tonight and you never asked Jesus to be your Savior, tonight would be a good night to do it. You're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. Jesus paid your penalty, and he offers to every single person the gift of salvation. All you got to do is come and take it, just receive it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight, for each one that's here. Thank you for the stories that you give us in the Bible and the parables that Jesus told that remind us of how much you love us and what you did for us. And I pray tonight that we would be a people of great thanks. And Father, I know that we'll do that if you'd help us get the right picture of who we are and how we look in your sight. And then we realize how much you forgave us and what you did for us when you sent Christ to die for us. I pray tonight if somebody here that doesn't know Christ, now will be the time that they come and receive the gift of salvation that he offers to them. Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. Again, I pray we never, ever lose the wonder and the awe of what Jesus did for us when he died on Calvary. Bless this time of invitation. Use it for your honor and your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.